I've actually got something for the podcast that will truly test to see if you've quit it or not, and that's why I want to wait for a proper section to ask you and see the ultimate test.
I've not played it in 3 days.
It's not.
That's not an ultimate test.
It is for me. Okay, welcome back to the Scratch This podcast.
Hello. The fact that we're listening to this, we survived the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was no apocalypse in the end.
In fact, we stopped it.
Yeah.
Us three just went up there. And all
you won't be aware of this.
Yeah.
Because time machines were used. Exactly. And the beauty of time machines is nothing actually happened, just normality happened.
That literally was a stupid joke with no payoff whatsoever, and there'll never be payoff for that joke as well.
It's inside jokes. We've had time machine episodes before, although I suppose the last one was Scratch because it was
awful.
Not working.
It was not good at all. Too far and not enough planning, which is pretty much all our podcast in a nutshell. I'm Ben Tyra.
I'm Callum Alexander.
And I'm Matt Mace.
And on today's show, we're going to be talking about our Christmas Shittacular Parade of Games, which is, for anyone who listened to our last show, we set each other...
If you haven't, go back and listen to it now.
Because it's good. It's fun times for all. You'll enjoy it, you'll have a laugh, and then
Matt Mace, get off your phone.
Sorry, I was checking the cricket.
You can check it in 10 minutes. You don't have to know second by second.
It's almost the final over.
Yeah, exactly.
No, not the final over.
There's only about 10 balls left, I'm guessing.
Exactly. Well, eight. Less than that.
So you don't even need to worry about it.
I do.
And then... that's completely thrown me.
Christmas Shittacular.
Christmas Shittacular. I really like that word as well. There's something that it runs off the tongue.
It'd be your word of the week.
Yeah.
It's like, this spaghetti bolognese is shittacular. Like, which I'm not sure if it's good or bad.
Is that the shittacular?
Yeah.
Does that make it good?
Exactly. I'd say it would. But unfortunately, these games were not good. They were the best at being the worst, so you could say, as you'll hear from us later. We'll also be having our next-gen news, which will be just a look at the future of gaming, which has been a lot of news
about that. Because we've been to the future, and we like it.
Yeah, and we've got a report back for you. And then, obviously, our question of the week section, which we had a response. Woo!
Let's get on. Buzzing.
Yeah. Okay, though, but first of all, let's begin with what we've been playing over Christmas.
Yep.
Matt, I'll let you start off, because...
Is my...
I can hear you perfectly fine,
yeah.
Matt.
I can't hear anything, barely, under this. Over Christmas, I have been playing two things. Football Manager, the new one, and a little bit of Assassin's Creed. I haven't really got into it. Football Manager's just Football Manager, like...
Any difference between that and 2012?
Just some of the players you can sign. Like, the actual, like, match days are better. Like, your assistant manager's a lot more helpful and whatnot. Yeah. And on the match days, he'll tell you what's happening, like, who's tired, who's not doing too well. So it's not a case of having to look for yourself if you're lazy like I am.
Exactly.
But
so it's streamlined it a little bit.
Yeah, it is still... You can still spend, you know, 5 hours in an evening and not know where they've gone. That's what Football Manager does. I took Swansea, who are tipped for relegation on this season. I've made them finish fifth, and now they're in Europa League.
That's bad.
So yeah, I'm going strong on that. Didn't get Manager of the Year, which I thought was a bit of a piss take. Didn't even get a Manager of the Month once.
That's the thing. With Football Manager, I find it's not like realistic managers of the month and who you play and what. It's just, you just have to win games. It's just purely win ratio.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, then Assassin's Creed, I haven't done much. I'm on sequence 2 or 3 and haven't even met the main character yet. I'm playing with Haytham Kenway, who's pretty badass, actually. I quite like him. And I reckon because Assassin's Creed have dipped into the kind of like yearly product, I imagine the next one will probably be a prequel based around him, just from what I've seen. Because obviously, I imagine I'm going to move on to Connor soon. I've got it pretty sus that I'm pretty sure he's probably Connor's dad, and that's how he gets like the assassin inheritance. But other than that, it's still got the 100% stuff, which can be a nuisance at times, but also quite fun. And there's not overly much change, really. It's just, I haven't been able to do much exploring in terms of like free world stuff and just going around collecting yet, because I don't really know where anything is yet. And plus, like, usually with the collectibles, like, you had the feathers and like Brotherhood and stuff, this time the collectibles are on guards and they're just walking around, and I'm like, it's so hard to try.
That sounds a bit more realistic though, because like, come on, like with a feather, how that would blur around, surely.
Yeah.
How do the feathers stay there previously?
Because
the magic feathers.
Magic of assassins. Or whoever made.
Thought the whole point of assassins is that they aren't magical. They use their stealth skills and.
Exactly. So the feathers use their stealth skills to stay on top of pillars and houses.
Okay.
Yeah.
So come on, Callum. I think let's face it. Anyone who's listened to this podcast before in the last two episodes has know what's going to be discussed here. So Callum really likes Hitman.
Yeah, it's good. It's very good. It's honestly, it's exactly what I was anticipating. Like, exactly. Because there are a few missions where it is just kind of like, okay, off you go. There's like a Chinatown kind of square one. There's about three. You can tell there's three or four different ways of completing it. Although one thing, I'm not sure if I like it or not, but each mission you have lots of different challenges which improve your score, so you can go back, do the challenges, and get up higher on leaderboards. But each you unlock the challenge for each different kind of kill you get. So say blow up the guy with a car bomb, or garrot him, or do whatever. But that means it tells you what to do. If that makes sense. So in the purest Hitman way, that's a bit like, oh, whatever. But I've got to a mission now, which is just, because I'm determined to do it stealthily and stuff, and it is just...
Which one?
It's in a nun...
Don't want to know.
Okay. But it's basically just a stealthy bit where, you know, I'm not spoiling anything here, but you have to... All the guards in the area are on high alert. There are two floors. You've got to recover four items and then leave. But it's just like, this isn't the point of Hitman. Hitman, I should be incognito in a public area. No one knows who I am. Go in, kill this guy, leave without anyone knowing I was ever there. And this whole point of just like, it's a different kind of stealth where it's more kind of splinter stealth of sticking to the shadows and sticking behind cover. And it's, you know, it's decent enough stealth, but it's just not Hitman.
Yeah.
I think in terms of the actual single player itself, they're clearly this time trying to tell more of the story, which is why you have these missions.
That's
of,
the problem, I think.
I don't...
The story's not that strong, I don't think. So they've completely ditched the whole just contract, very vague story link them together, which I didn't mind. It was kind of like Time Splitters 2 in the way that it was just lots of varied
something
levels.
Something to hang it
and just
together.
Something very loose to hang it together, where they've thrown that out and now each mission, you know, you actually go to each one and they will link together in terms of movement and where Agent 47's going. But there's, you know, the storyline's so cliched and just kind of...
I wouldn't say necessarily like...
101.
I wouldn't say cliched. It's more just... It's a bit... It's pulpy. Like, it's something you'd read in a comic book if you treated Hitman as a superhero.
It's just...
It's not terrible.
Bad, but I don't think it's worth them throwing out the old formula for, if that makes
I
sense.
I think, in truth, this is more like... This has been their, like, attempt to bring
a wider audience, casual gamers.
Yeah, which is what I hypothesised before.
I think it's less
playing.
Casual gamers, but more like aiming for a market which doesn't want Call of Duty, which, to be fair, these days is, like, growing and growing, but wants a game that's going to sort of hold them by the hand a little bit. And I do, like, I love the challenges for me personally, because it's a case of, okay, Callum's got this score, let's see if I can
beat
it.
I do really like that. I really like that.
I like the idea. I wish more of them, as you said, there would be like secret and you have to fiddle around to find out what that challenge is, because it starts off, you know, on the Chinatown one, I looked through and it said there was like, do this, unlock a 5% score increase. So it was like, okay, what do I need to do here? I'm going to try and do this one. I think the original way I attempted it was to take two people out with one bullet. But then in the end, I decided I'd stay in the drug dealer's apartment, take him out, wear his clothes, and then take out the Chinatown guy when he went for a piss by a van.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think to be fair to it, if you go into contracts mode, that's more classic Hitman in there. And the good thing about that is that it'll always be a new mission for you to attempt.
Yeah.
Because all you ever really need is to find, just to go online or find like a quick challenge, and you'll have someone take out these people in this certain way. And can you do it better than me? So it's...
Yeah.
So I wouldn't... I think you were more invested in the series than I was to begin with, which is why I'm a bit
more... Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad game at all. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, but... like I said, I can understand the Switch, but I personally believe that if they just kind of, obviously a lot of the improvements are good, but if they kind of just stuck to the classic formula a little bit and improved upon that, I'm not necessarily saying more of the same, but just an improvement on it. Like, something that does annoy me is, it's just the little things. Like, I love the fact that in the old Hitman games, if you wanted a sniper rifle and an assault rifle, it's there, it's a big weapon. You can't holster that or anything, you have to carry it. So if you want to carry that around incognito, you need to wear a soldier's outfit or someone who would be okay carrying around a gun. Now you have this massive shotgun that you pick up and you just, like, put it in your suit with no,
there
no
are,
marks or anything.
There are moments of that in it.
And the checkpoints are very annoying. The reason that I keep on, I'm annoyed with this mission that I'm stuck on is, okay, you clear the first floor.
Is it because you're wearing an outfit and you can't go back to change your disguise?
No, no, it's just the fact that you get a checkpoint and then there's, say, about 10 minutes of things to do after the checkpoint, and you spend, you know, obviously with the whole thing of Hitman, it's patience and waiting and looking at people's movement patterns, and you spend 9.5 minutes doing it all perfectly, and the thing at the very end fucks you over and you've got to go all the way back to the beginning. But that's the nature of checkpoints, which I'm going to talk about later in Alone in the Dark.
You're looking forward to that, I can tell.
And I also rediscovered my addiction for Ultimate Team over the
Shock.
Christmas. Yeah.
You did this last Christmas as well, which is why I think
it just whacks and wanes, like Ultimate Team. Like, if you play it too much, it's just like, oh, I'm getting a bit bored. Then after a while, I get back into it and just...
Or was it about the time of the team of the year that you got back into it, or...?
A little bit before that. Well, because, well, if you get this up in time, tonight, the team of the year forwards are coming out. Messi, Ronaldo and Falcao. So I'm predicting a bit of a market crash, and I've got 350,000 coins traded up.
Yeah, I reckon when it comes to tonight, it'll just be literally like the second they're released, just...
Because they've already crashed a lot, but I'm hoping for a little bit more, because I'm going to get a team with Aguero, Neymar, and in-form Ronaldinho. Just build around that.
Okay, and then finally for me, I've touched on Hitman. I was playing that a little bit. I had a few games to go through this Christmas, and I'm trying to get them.
And
moment.
They were all overseen by Far Cry.
Well, at the moment, I'm just trying to play one game at a time, and I spent a week on Far Cry 3 because, for me, it's the game of last year. Obviously, I know, like we said in our last podcast, like our games of the year, but Far Cry just blew out the water. Like, I hated Far Cry 2, but Far Cry 3 is insane. The way I look at it now is, like, Far Cry 2 was a tech demo for Far Cry 3. It introduced the idea of fires raging and spreading naturally. If anything, Far Cry 3 is worse at it. I found, like, they would only go so far. Like, you'd throw a Molotov and it would burn for a little bit, but then it would die again. Whereas in Far Cry 2, you could watch as, like, it spreads across the savannah. But in terms of the way you play the game, it's a lot punchier than Far Cry 2 was. It's a lot more lenient is the term. Like, in Far Cry 2, if, say, for example, you got shot or you had attack malaria, you'd struggle to complete a mission. And you're only ever really, like, 400 metres away from doing something in Far Cry 3. Because in Far Cry 2, you could go for, like, 15, 20 minutes just purely driving. On top of that, the story's silly, but...
Yeah, I think I was going to say that Far Cry 3 on Reddit has to be the amount of, like, Far Cry 3 logic things. Like,
yeah,
friends are dying and desperately need help. Spend time playing poker with the locals.
Yes, exactly. There's quite a lot of silly things in it, but I think because most of the characters are pretty engaging, like, your main character is an absolute tit. Like, I hate Jason Brody, but I don't mind, like, you can sort of see his character arc a little bit. But I think I'm more like, Vaz is hands down, like, one of the villains of the year. He's an insanely good character. No, it's what term is saying there. No, but Vaz
is, he the shit-tacular?
He is the shit-tacular. He is shit-tacular. And you get a few villains as well who are quite, like, uncomfortably scary. So I thought that was quite good. But in terms of the way you play it, it's just, you never feel like your hand's being held. It is just, okay, here's an enemy camp. You can either go in organs blazing and risk them sounding the alarm and bringing in enforcement. You can take off a few people and thin out the numbers so it's easier when you go in, or you can do it completely via stealth, going in, doing manual takedowns, taking each person out until no one's left and you haven't been detected. And so depending on the area, for example, later on in the game, you get guards who cover their face with metal masks, and because they're so big, you can't take them down. And you eventually unlock the ability to, but you have to think, right, should I do a frontal assault and just try and take him out? Or should I?
Sorry, I'm so immature at that.
Don't. Frontal assault?
I don't even know. It's not even funny.
That's like barely an innuendo.
How is that? Anyway, but I think you have to chop and change on the fly. So I liked it. It's easily, I couldn't recommend it highly enough. Just as
it's quite cheap now, isn't it?
I'll buy it when they bring the dinosaur DLC out.
I honestly think they could as well.
Apparently they're thinking about it. Yeah,
if they do, I'll be there. I think even the hunting things weren't that annoying. It's like in Red Dead. You honestly.
I've seen like videos of the hunting things. Yeah,
they were quite fun.
Yeah,
and so finally, Callum, let's discuss this.
Well, what did you give up over Christmas, Ben?
Over Christmas, I traded in FIFA 13.
FIFA 13. What made you come to this decision?
I decided that I've been mulling it over for a month or two. I thought, I've got this dissertation, I've got the multimedia project, we've got a lot of hand-ins over January, and knowing me, I'd rather have games which I got over Christmas and haven't played yet than FIFA, which I've had now for like the last 4 months. I enjoy it, but I think I enjoy the fact that I'm just wasting time on it, so I've decided to.
So, wait, your logic is, I've got a shitload of work to do,
so
I'm
going to
distract myself with new games rather than FIFA.
That is what it sounded like.
That's what it sounded like. What I'm saying is, I'd rather get my work finished and then come back to new games which I haven't played yet. Or I've got Need for Speed, for example. Like I can risk, like I can have half an hour on that rather than going on FIFA, spending more money on Ultimate Team, or wasting like an hour or two in career mode.
So, I mean, it's good because evidently you got a lot of work done over Christmas, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, I got all my work done over Christmas. That's fine.
got your dissertation completely finished. There's nothing left to do there.
I was going to say, but what about the temptation of the fact that you will still have copies of FIFA in your household?
Yeah, I'll be fine. Like, I can come down, and if like Matt's playing out or something, I might have a match. But there's a difference. So
you're not really in trading it in. You've just acknowledged the fact that your next few months of living, you'll have a copy of FIFA around, so you can just play that.
Yeah.
And then if you really want it in the summer, you can just buy it again on the cheap.
It was just
a little money making exercise, was it?
Well, to be fair as well, I did want to save a bit of money as well because I've got to buy.
Save all the money. That's a lot of money saving, considering you're spending on the season pass and all the packs.
I know.
It seems like a good money saving technique.
The thing is, though, if I wanted to, I guess, like as you said on the forums, like if I wanted to, I could go on there and say who wants a team with Van Persie.
This is my question.
Wan Mata.
Right. This is the test. Are you ready for the test? The $1 million question.
What's right. That?
If you are truly going cold turkey, if this is you entering rehab, if you've noted your FIFA addiction and you've gone, that's no good for me. Like a World of Warcraft addict, you've deleted your account. Well, not deleted, but you sold your FIFA.
Like a heroin addict, and you sold all your heroin.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're truly absolved of your problem, give me your ultimate team.
When you say give it to you,
I'm not gonna pay it for you.
Well, no, then, because that's stupid. Because I can easily find someone who would pay money for it.
Like who? The market's crashed. The players aren't worth that much anymore.
That's
true. A test. Get rid of your ultimate team. And then I'll believe that you've cured yourself of your addiction. Quick sell it all on YouTube and then get lots of hits and link it back to the podcast and get some hits.
That wouldn't be a bad idea, would it?
Yeah.
That would be... I don't have a problem with that.
Although, you'd know that all that money you've spent...
Yeah, that would hurt a lot. Like, this is feeling a little bit...
Notes.
This feels a little bit sadistic here. This feels like you, like...
Do you know the fact that you kind of, in an essence, brought it on yourself?
I did bring it on myself by spending the amount of money and then trade it in so soon. But I think, in terms of my rehabilitation into normal society, it needed to be done.
I like the fact that, you know, that's how much Ben likes me as a friend, that he'd rather quick sell his team for like 600 coins each and give me the players.
It's the way you looked at me and said, give me the players. Because mind, then it was just a case of think of all the money I can make.
He's just trying to help you out. If you were a heroin addict, as previously mentioned, that you're not, but if you were a heroin addict, he could take your heroin for you.
Exactly. Anyway, but outside of FIFA, let me have a think. I think the idea of quick selling on YouTube is quite funny as well, because imagine the amount of people would hate us for it.
It would have to. Thing is, I've seen like someone quick sell about six Messis. That's the kind of thing that's going to get you views rather than just like
Van Persie, Yaya Touré, yeah, 84 Premier League team. I don't know. Anyway, let's have a think. I could give it to you. I guess I don't really. I've got no use for it.
Probably worth about 100k now at the moment. Now.
100. I mean, Van Persie's worth about 50. Matters around.
Market's crashed, Ben.
Crashed.
Like, then Touré's just worth like 25k now, so work around that. How much did you pay for him?
No, I got him in a pack. So I don't even want to think.
Well, Torres is 25k as well.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I reckon after the whole like Team of the Year ratio, I'll probably go up a little bit again.
Well, no, they'll be doing all the player updates, won't they?
No, updated players, yeah. So some of your players could go down in price even more.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter.
In hindsight, it was a great investment.
Yeah, it was a fantastic investment.
It's like investing in Woolworths the year before it crashed.
It's like investing in game during the administration process. And finally, we've got a new home as well. Obviously, you'll still be able to find us on scratchdisc.com. And on iTunes as well. Obviously, if you're enjoying our stuff, go on there, subscribe. It takes 2 seconds, and all the latest episodes will be up in there once you've got them done. This year, you can expect to find every episode on a Friday between the hours of 12 and 5. I wouldn't hold us to that, but I'm trying to set this goal here so that we try and get like a bit of consistency this year.
Right, there you go. You said it. And like, we're in uni every Friday morning. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, that is true. Yep.
We can come in here afterwards, book out for 2 hours, as long as we're booking it.
See, coming here, that's the thing that made me laugh, not
anyway, but also now you'll be able to find us on a website called pixelbedlam.com. It's run by one of our friends,
a real life person.
I guess like we've known Rory from the 7-Bit days. Yep. So he's going to be hosting it on there.
There's some absolutely beautiful articles on that site. Like if you want 5 exceptions to Rule 34, get on that site, read it.
I'm actually writing something for him as well. You'd be proud of me. It's about why the Fringe finale matters. Which it does, to be fair. It's been to everyone. It should do.
It doesn't matter to me.
Well, it will when you've been woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that, I can imagine that already. The shrills and shrieks coming from the living room.
You'd be surprised if you don't get woken up that light.
I probably won't be asleep, to be fair.
But yeah, you can find us on Pixel Bedlam. This will be the first episode that's going up on there. Every episode will be put on there as well on the Friday. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. This is how you found us. If not,
arrivederci. Does that mean goodbye?
I think that means goodbye.
I think that was the whole point of the joke.
Yeah. Let's say goodbye to this section.
Bienvenue, that means welcome in
French.
Yeah.
Bienvenue as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Bonjour.
Anyway.
That's just hello there.
Ça va.
Yeah. Ça va, how are you?
Yeah.
How are you? Too? Oh, I don't speak French. Anyway, let's move on to the next section.
No, a little bit.
Yeah. So, news of and stuff, I guess, is what we're going to be talking about here. But more like, if we're going to hone it down, it'll be next gen news, because since the turn of the year,
let's look to the future.
Let's face it, ever since like the arse end of last year, most people have been gearing up for the announcements of the next Xbox, the next PlayStation. We've already had the Wii U, but a latecomer into the ring, you could argue, is the Steam Box, which just got announced at this week's Consumer Electronics Show?
Yeah, CES. Mm-hmm.
CES, not the High Street Store.
No. Something I'm going to touch on very briefly is a tedious link. Yes, is it tedious link?
Tenuous link.
Tenuous link. My brain's all over the place this morning. Something that is not related to the podcast at all and might well be edited out. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. It was a tablet, and obviously, you know, tablets are like really, really hard to type with because it's a thing. You press a button on it, and like little buttons pop up from the touchscreen.
That's
quite
cool.
It's like kind of obviously
So it's something you've got more of.
And then you can press it again, they go flat again.
Tactile connection.
Tactile,
to it.
Yeah.
Because I also saw as well, Sony have introduced a mobile phone that is completely waterproof. And like, you can submerge it for 30 minutes without
all
it.
Those scuba divers well, out yeah. there looking for a
there's
new
like
phone.
There's like a watch in Japan, and like it's just a white wrist thing with the time on it, and you pull the clip out, and the phone appears on your arm, and it's like a touchscreen on your arm.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Anyway, yeah. Crazy inventions. But the Steam Box, that was been announced, and it's sort of, I guess it had been teased here and there. There have been rumours of it, but it's being developed by a corporation called XI3, who make computers. But there's, from what we've seen so far, it's basically just a small little box, which would be the same size as the Kickstarter project. What's it?
Ouya.
Which
now you might think, if this new thing, the Steam Box, is coming in, what's the future going to be like for that box, even though it's got massive financial backing? Is there going to be a market, or, you know, before, if that got released, that was the only thing, you know, it would dominate the market, that kind of niche market.
Yeah.
Now, with this other thing, is that going to sell as well?
Could it? I mean, to be fair to it, so far, it's not technically being called the Steam Box. What it is a computer hardware, which, in a press release by him, says it's a development stage system optimized for computer gameplay on large high definition television monitors, but it has received funding from Steam. So it will support Steam and its big picture screen mode. So for me, that is just basically a console where you're using it to play Steam games. Yeah. I mean, you look at the amount of people who've probably already got a library that is twice the size of that.
Any, like, it's like 50 million, like, people with, like, Steam libraries.
Yeah, you've got 50 million people with Steam libraries. On top of that, you've got, the amount of games would be doubled, I'd imagine, if you think how cheap games are on Steam. It's got an inbuilt market, and then it's got, you're basically saying you've got a better piece of hardware here to play your
I'm
games.
I might be playing somewhat devil's advocate here, because it's not necessarily what I strongly think, but I'm just kind of putting a situation into the forum of debate here.
Okay.
But I'm going to hugely stereotype and rationalise a huge market here, so apologies if you're listening to this and you don't fall into this category at all, but I think it's safe to say that a lot of the PC gaming community, you know, not necessarily saying everyone that has a Steam or a connection to Valve or Steam account, but a lot of them that will have these massive Steam libraries, you would probably say are more PC gamers, and they have, you know, they're into their PC gaming and they have really good setups and stuff. And you'd think, if they've got that, do they need to buy another box just so they can play it on their TV? Surely they're, you know, they've got the good PCs with the good setups and stuff. If they've got that there in front of them, why do they need to buy another thing to play their games?
That's true.
Although, I suppose on the other hand, you could say people, especially like me, who don't have the PCs to be able to run that kind of game, something like a Steam Box, which would run
and
those games on TV, would appeal to
me. That with PC hardware, it's always evolving. And, you know, you buy a brand new sparkling PC within 6 months, a year, it's outdated. Like, if you have that box, how long before the top new brand new games on Steam can't be run at the optimal
unless
specs?
As I say, if it is going to be like PC hardware, it is a case of you can always go in, update RAM, update graphics drives for it. That's not, I think it will probably fall more into like the PC crowd who'd be more interested in it. But again,
I like to think we've actually got it completely wrong, and Steam Box is just a way to like grill chicken and stuff like that. It's just so we just completely
Valve's new Steam Box. A healthy way to stay in shape while playing our amazing
sponsored
games.
Sponsored by George Foreman.
But I like the idea of it, and for someone who, you know, I've got like on Steam, I've now got about 30 odd games, which I can run some off my laptop, but like Saints Row the Third, I can run off it, but I have a little problem with frame rates because my RAM's a bit old now, like I need a little bit more RAM.
Too much porn as well.
So it's a problem. And then but I can see there's a definite market for it, and I guess it's probably for people as well who, like, I think it'd be perfect for families where, you know, you've got a dad who plays games on his computer, but you can have a kid downstairs running games of Steam as well. So, or just having, like, if let's say your computer monitor is about 19 inches, whereas downstairs you've got a 46 inch HD TV.
This is Ben's TV, like, elitism coming in. Have to help.
Big TV! But I mean, TV. Even then, like, even if it's like these days, you can pick up a 32 inch HD TV for £200. Like, that's not. It's a lot of money still, but like, considering like that would have cost you about £400-£500 only 5 years ago, you know, there's a case for people who might want to like just like. Here, this is a small box that will run almost every game on Steam, and then you can play it off your TV, eliminating the need for consoles, especially if you don't want to. You don't want to spend extra money on like buying discs all the time, which just take up space. You've got your whole library in one place, and you want something that is only going to play games. You don't want the media boxes,
an entertainment system kind of thing, which is what Microsoft and
Sony are selling at the moment. I mean, even the Wii now, because you can get, I think you can get Netflix on the Wii U. And
do you know, this is kind of off topic again, but I've realised the amount, because obviously like Nintendo wanted, like, it's like Asian stuff, the amount of like Japanese horror films that have been turned into crappy kind of Wii games, it's unbelievable. There are so many like god awful survivor horror games on the Wii where you're like just pointing your little. There's one, and it was. Have you heard of like One Missed Call or something? It's like a.
Yeah.
It was like an American remake of a Japanese.
And it's
film.
The one where like
you get a phone call from yourself when you die. They turned that into a game where you actually have to hold the Wii controller up to your face and pretend you're on the phone. And I watched like 20 minutes of it, and it was easily the worst. I would rather play the Miley Cyrus game again. It just looks awful.
Let's not skip there. But on top of. Now, we've talked about where maybe the next generation of gaming is going for PC in terms of bringing it into the living room and opening it up. For Sony, it is. They last week announced. Well, it was discovered on the NeoGAF forums that there's been a patent by Sony that would block pre-owned games. So the idea being that when you put a disc into the console, it would register that disc to that console and you couldn't play it in a different console. So I thought. I mean, I'm guessing we have spoke about this before. I kind of wanted to touch on it quickly because I thought, as someone who used to work at game, you know, it's quite interesting. Cause
it's just stupid,
I
really.
I think we're all kind of probably got a bias opinion because we're not exactly financially endowed right now.
Yeah, like, obviously, as a consumer, the secondhand market is vital. You know, it can be very important because you can pick it. Obviously, games are getting very, very cheap now, but, you know, it. Picking up, again, walking into CX thing and picking up a cheap game for £5, you know, obviously you'd lose that. And
I also find it's like, well, my experience was with the pre-owned sections as well. There's always more like variety in terms of like game, because like, obviously, especially
rather than just the charts.
Yeah, exactly. I always find that much better just to look around and find a game from like 5 years
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. And like, you know, obviously, gamers struggled immensely and stuff. But if Microsoft and Sony and stuff do go all digital, that won't be a good thing, because a good thing about having a large market where, okay, you've got High Street and you've also got Amazon and you've got Play.com and stuff, the fact that's a very competitive market means they'll try and do sales to bring in customers, which means we as gamers get the benefit from that, because we get really cheap games from the, you know, the companies trying to sell games. If in 5 years' time it's mainly online only directly from the consoles, they're going to control the markets, and it's unlike, you know, you see what Microsoft are like with sales. If you try and go in and get their games on demand, you can get a really old game and they're still quite expensive.
So like, I think the other day I saw on there you could get something like maybe the first BioShock was £20, and like you walk into game, you get
like
for five
or something. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's great at the moment. Obviously it's an indication of the fact that the game's in, well, less people are buying games, but it's great for us at the moment that prices are really going down quickly. Like the fact that Far Cry 3 is already £20. But if everything went digital only and you couldn't pretty much buy anything from anywhere else, you know, they could charge whatever they want.
I think in this case, it'd be more a case of once you buy a game, that game is yours. And again, this is purely devil's advocate here. I think pre-owned is an important part of the industry because it gives people a chance who can't, like us, you know, we're at an age where we want to like try as many games as possible, and it gives people a chance to like maybe discover a series they wouldn't have done. Let's say, for example, I went out and picked up Dragon's Dogma for like £20 or £15 pre-owned, and then next year when the sequel comes out, I might be like, okay, I want to buy this brand new because I really liked it last time.
It's stupid that if, like, you know, I've got a game, I'm like, oh, this is really good, I've just completed it, and you're like, oh, that sounds good, I'll be like, oh, you can borrow it. Oh, wait, no, you can't. Cause...
Yeah, because it's locked to my console. Or like, here, I'm selling on my console. What do I do with these games? You can chuck them in the bin.
Yeah, it's you're not using them anymore. Are you just going to turn all gamers into massive hoarders?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's got like reams of games. That are... Now, if you've installed it, essentially just little art...
Yeah,
little disc. That's...
For Sony, again, I mean, Sony have a history of patterning silly things which they don't want to touch, but they've always got the option there if they need the tech.
I swear I read somewhere with a PlayStation 3 they had something similar where you couldn't trade in games. Obviously, that never came to...
No, that never came, came to pass. Yeah, I think Dan mentioned as well, like, Dan Hawkin, he sent us a tweet saying that Sony had... I think in the past they'd patterned a system where it could port a game itself and then play you an ad. And then unpause the game. So that would be like...
Okay. I would be so pissed off if that happened.
And imagine as well enjoying a boss fight or in Street Fighter where like you're about to land that killer punch and then pause. Have you tried the new Diet Coke Zero?
Obviously gaming, advertising gaming is a different subject for a different day. But I just touched upon the fact that if it fits within the world, I really don't mind it. Like say on Football Manager... I don't think it's advertisement. It's something like they have like charities on the advertising boards at the pitch. And like if, say it was a world like Grand Theft Auto and you had a real life company take an advert in the style of Grand Theft Auto and you put it just on a billboard somewhere and it's not intrusive, it fits within the style of the world, that's fine. I remember Crackdown, where Crackdown's a futuristic highly stylized games. They were just like car adverts on the billboards, just a car advert. And it's just the fact that it didn't sit anywhere within the feel of the game made it felt intrusive.
In terms of as well for Sony, I can understand why this pattern exists because of the fact developers, how can we make more money from our products? You look at, we're selling X amount of games brand new, but then all the rest we're selling are being sold pre-owned. People are playing our games, but we're not getting money from it. How can we combat this? And, you know, it's an idea, but I think in hindsight, you're going to be alienating and isolating a lot of gamers who will just go, well, fuck that, I'll just get a different console, or I'll go to Steam or something. But, I think that's really it for the news today. One more piece. Callum, you mentioned earlier, it was a sad day for us over Christmas because the Black Beauty...
Oh, yeah, the PlayStation 2 has stopped in production, which I was really surprised about because, like, you know, when they were like, oh, you know, it was announced PlayStation 2 has stopped production, I was like, that wasn't years ago.
Yeah, and it was bizarre. I think...
When did it first get released?
Be October 2000?
2000.
Or might have been... Could...
So we were 8 when that came out.
Think so, yeah.
To make probably some of our podcast listeners feel quite old, we were 8 when the PlayStation came out and it's only just stopped.
Oh my god, that feels... Was it 2000? It could be 2002. Let me check. Released March 4, 2000.
God, yeah.
God, that's weird.
So I would have only just turned 8.
No, wow. Fuck it. Anyway, so a moment silence for the PS2 as we now head on into the...
I have one more little news story. I was having a little flick around on IGN the other day, and it's got like what everyone's reading, and it was like huge announcement for Nintendo and Pokemon. And I was like, I'll give this a read, and one of the comments just made me, and I was like, please let this be, like, and everyone was like, oh, it's probably just going to be like a crappy new box art or some figures. Yeah. Everyone was like, I'm hoping it's Gene Spice, and then they're opening a zoo of them, and I was like, please, just... I know it's not possible, but obviously they're bringing out X and Y, and I have to admit, I watched the trailer and
it looks good.
It's like it's not fully 3D, but it does look,
it's more isometric good. 3D, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does. It looks a lot better than, apparently, like the black and white two ones are meant to be, like, everyone's like really kind of up in arms about how good they are, but they never appealed to me.
I think it's one of those things where we kind of did outgrow Pokemon and we don't have 3DSs. It's not the sort of thing you'd spend £200 for like a quick retro hit on.
I'm just hoping that it will work on an emulator and I can illegally download it and play it that way.
I just think the fact that the developers, the people that make Pokemon, have got the tidiest job in the world. Because if you think, the first Pokemon game came out in 1996... Yeah, did it?
Something like that. Maybe 95 in Japan.
Something like 16, 17 years ago. Right, and in those 16 and 17 years, their core games have not changed one little bit.
Wow, yeah. The core concept hasn't, like the game itself.
You're a young upstarter, somehow a young ling with no prior knowledge of Pokemon. You get given just one shitty Pokemon, then within a month you're the world's best. You have to balance. You have to challenge gym leaders
and fight
whilst
the bad
also
guys.
Fight an evil corporation across 8 or 16 cities, and that's it. That's it.
Right.
So well done, those developers. They make a lot of money.
I could do that. Just draw up some new Pokemon. Like, I could look around this room and find like at least 10 really bad ideas for a Pokemon. Like a broken air vent. Done. You call it
Microphonemon.
There you go. That'd be like a Digimon, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Come on, don't get your franchises mixed up together. That's like crossing the streams.
Oh, I can feel pretty evil, like pretty hard stairs there.
We'll move on to our next section.
You lost the words.
Oh god, my words have failed me. And we're back. So as promised, here is our rundown of the Christmas Shittacular. I think we should do it in order of the games we hated, like from hated the least to hated the most.
Well, I'm getting last.
No, I'm in the middle then.
Yeah, so let's talk about Sabrina's Magical Adventure. If you've checked out scratchdisc.com, I've already wrote up a review of what I thought of it. To be honest with you, it's not a great game, but I think Matt was hoping it was more than just a collection of 6 mini games that would take me 2 hours to play.
In fairness, I didn't really give much thought to it. I thought, that looks like a really bad game. That'll do. I was expecting it to be a little more infuriating than what it ended up being.
I think for me personally, it was infuriating because I had a whole dilemma of not being able to install it, but then the game was so old that the file I could actually just run off the disc. So I was pleasantly surprised by that. There's just a QuickTime file, click it, oh, it works.
Do you remember those days when like a game that was like 1 gigabyte of install, that was like, shit, that's like a tenth of my hard drive.
Yeah, these days would be, oh, wow, that's a 200th of my hard drive.
Yeah, if that, yeah.
But there's not really much to say with Sabrina. It's just a kid's game from 2000. Like, there's not a lot to do with it. A lot of the games are just variations of different games. Like, for example, a maze game, which was just a case of you have to walk through a maze and find a key and then backtrack and find a door and then find your friend. Or there was one which really did infuriate me. Was a maze game. Well, it was this game where you had to collect doggy food across this grid, and then give it to the dog to turn him back into a human. But the controls didn't really work for it. So you press down at one point and it say, "I can't move there," and then you press the right button and it say, "I can't move there," and then you press down again, but this time it does move there. So it was a little bit broken in some respects, and
Don't talk about broken games, though. Don't even go there.
We'll get there. Well, don't worry. I hope you didn't install any of the updates as well.
There weren't any.
Oh, even better.
There weren't, which I'm going to talk about in a bit.
Even better. And then there was another one as well where you just had to, you just had to avoid the fruit which was falling down. And these are all Flash games which you can play these days for, 5 minutes. Mm. And it was all tied together with a really awful story about a girl called Gem Stone, who steals a gemstone and then turns people into sheeple.
To be honest, though, if you were called Gem Stone, you'd have to work in the jewelry business. The
yeah,
same
exactly.
Way.
Yeah. And then it was given, did you ever watch Sabrina as a kid?
I remember the talking cat.
Salem's in this as well, and he's still as punny as ever. Like, everything's a pun. Or if he doesn't have a pun for it, it'll just go, "Meow." Like, that's his go-to line, just in case he doesn't have a pun lined up. So, Sabrina is... It was only 2 hours. I mean, you wouldn't... It's just a kid's game from 2000. Mm. That sounds like a football chant. Like, you're just a kid's game from 2000. But, yeah, it was boring. It was shallow. It was clearly a cash grab, but then again, what you'd expect from a kid's game from 2000.
Yeah.
So Matt, Hannah Montana the video game.
I mean, it's not awful. It's shit. It's really, really shit, but it's not atrociously awful. Like,
it has, does it have any redeeming qualities?
It's kind of hard. Basically, it's got like different aspects of the game. It's got like a Guitar Hero type of thing where you do the performances and you have to go out and you have to like, you know, as something appears on the screen, you have to do it. And the controls are really simplistic. You'll never have to press more than like two buttons at a time. Like, you'll be doing a bit where she'll be singing and you have to do like dance poses and stuff, which is just analog controls. And then you'll do the microphone where you have to like press the buttons in time with the microphone. And then there's the guitars, pretty similar as well, as it's guitar is just Guitar Hero pretty much, and drums as well. And that's actually not that bad because it's actually it's fast enough pace that I'm not thinking, wow, this is shit. I'm thinking, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. And then when it finishes, you're just like, that was pretty shit. And then the storyline is, I don't think there really is one. You kind of help this person you have a crush on fix a chicken barn. And then you're trying to live two lives without people finding out that you're Hannah Montana. And you go to a high street store, and you can do all these like shopping stuff, and you can change outfits, which I tried. I tried to find the most revealing outfit I could, which didn't really work. And
Matt, I just want to put a thought in your mind right now. You know, you said about the storyline.
Mm.
Know that someone has actually received money for writing that.
The storyline literally is like nothing. You're just singing. You're just doing concert to concert to concert, and then you like meet this boy, and then you're, I don't know if it's your dad or your uncle, this older man meets this woman and they both hit it off, and then everything goes wrong and you have to try and fix it by singing. And then you have to go to the fairground, which is by and large the most frustrating bit about this game. Like the amount of times as well when you're just on the farm and you have to walk, it's a bit like you'll be talking to your grandma in the house and be like, oh, go outside and talk to Dylan or Travis or Bilbo, whatever his name, I can't remember. And you have to walk out there and you'd be like, oh, hi, I'm trying to fix a chicken coop, can you help me? Like, sure. And that was like, go back inside and talk. I did that journey like 20 times, just walking to and from. And but it's nothing compared to the fairground. Like, it's got an arrow telling you where you need to go, but the fairground, most of the time you have to walk towards the camera and around instead of just like heading off the direction. It's so annoying. And the games, you have like a frog toss one where you have to try and chuck frogs onto a lily pad, which is fine. And the one where you've got like the cans and you, not the cans, but there's this horse racing one. And I have never been more perplexed by anything in my life. It's just, you've got these four horses and you're the one at the top. And as you go, you've got a water pistol and you have to just shoot anything that shows up. And I had to use a walkthrough. I had to go to YouTube and try and find a walkthrough just to show me how to do it, because I was just, and I couldn't finish the game until
this is someone who's completed Assassin's Creed, whichever one it was, 100%.
And I couldn't even do the Miley Cyrus thing. I mean, there's like, it's like graphically and it's not horrible, and like the music score is obviously, it's just Hannah Montana songs, but like, you know, just the audio of it is actually okay.
And it's generally like just upbeat songs anyway, so it's not like you want to like gouge your ears out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the dialogue's like really kind of basic, and because obviously it's aimed at kids and whatnot.
Yeah,
and
just like, I'm going to go do this now.
There was one, it was like, you were talking to some cheerleader who had like all her stuff stolen by a rival cheerleader gang. It was like, sweet niblets, not the cheer bad on. And I was like, oh, I've had enough of this game.
Sweet niblets.
Yeah, sweet niblets.
Oh, sweet niblets.
But yeah, it's frustrating, but it's not, in terms of like general quality of the game, it's not broken. It's not, there's no real bugs. It's just annoyingly bad.
Yeah. So overall then, you can kind of, it will suit its market audience, and
yeah, I mean, it's a cash cow, isn't it? That's what it is.
So Callum,
right? I'm not happy about this, because obviously the two games you guys have played are not of good quality. They're not good games, but same way that they're bad, their games are so bad they're good. There's kind of, you know what you're gonna, you know what they're there for. They're there for a market many, many, many years younger than you. They're stupid. They're simple, but that's fine. They exist. You know, there's a market for them. We understand why they're there. I had Alone in the Dark, which is supposed to be a serious game, and it's just awful. Like,
I think the thing is with our games, we sort of knew going into them that they were going to be bad, whereas with you, you didn't understand the horrors that awaited you.
The problem is, well, I knew within 5 minutes of playing the game that it's going to be awful, because I think I said this online, that the first, like, obviously you've got, you kind of got a cutscene, it's all first person, you know, that's standard affair, going through the intro first person, say Batman Arkham Asylum, where you're seeing it through the eyes of yourself.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it decides the fact that because you've just woken up, to make it really realistic and cool, you have to constantly blink to stop your, to stop the world going out of focus. So you literally have to sit there clicking right stick to make your character blink to make sure the world's all in focus.
Because I kind of, the thing of it is, I could kind of see the principle and idea behind it, and I kind of like it, but then...
But it's not even like blink every theory. So often. It's literally just... That's the problem with this game. There are a lot of really, really good concepts that someone sat just together and
horribly
thought
executed.
And it's horribly executed. Like, the inventory system is brilliant. I love it because it's like all in your jacket, so you just press down on the D-pad, you can actually see all the pockets and where all the items sit. So it's not just like Resident Evil where each item takes up a box. You can actually see what can go where and how much you can carry of each thing.
Yeah,
so that's fine. And there's physics elements to it, which it's kind of like if you've ever played Half-Life 2, where it's the physics engine is decent. It can't, there's a few moments
it was
where,
good for the time, good for the time, but it might look a little
it's
bit
still feeling like that, where the physics engine is obviously mainly for the puzzle based aspects of it. But other than, oh, and there's the healing system, which is kind of good and bad at the same time, where is you're gonna get injured, you get more scraps and scrapes on your body that you can spray with medical spray, and if you get a really bad injury, you start bleeding out until you find a bandage, you wrap it up. But the problem is, these scrapes kind of appear randomly. So where if they appear on your trousers, it's fine. It's like a rip on your knee.
Yeah.
But you can get it just like on your jacket over the front. And it looks, you know, like in fancy dress shops, you get this kind of like scars you can stick on. Yeah. It looks like someone that's just stuck one of them to the front of your jacket. And honestly, that's where any compliments in this game end. Because the first few sequences, it's so linear. And also there's a few puzzle-based things. But you notice, firstly, that the camera is awful. Like, it, that you can go first person, but it's clunky, and then it'll just pull it out to third person, and then it's got the third person thing where you can't control the camera, so it keeps on flicking around. And then it's absolutely hilarious because you're escaping this building and you keep on meeting these people, and then they just keep on dying, like being killed by things. And like, I met this guy, I was like, oh, I wonder how long he's gonna die, and literally about 2 minutes later, he just completely, you know, you're escorting him for a while and then you just completely get done over. And then and so the mechanics aren't good at all. And like, there's a driving bits, and you think the driving bits kind of sound cool because you can, okay, the car's locked, you know, you shoot the window, like break the window open, you can get into it, you sit into it, and then you can like check the glove box, check the mirror, like the windscreen mirror, to try and find a key or something, and like, yeah, turn the radio on. That's all kind of cool. But the I've never played a game with worse driving mechanics, which leads me to my next point, which is the driving section of this game, which is the most god-awful section of a game I've ever experienced in my life. Basically, the basic premise is, in Alone in the Dark, I can't really explain it, but all these monsters kind of come from fissures and raptures in the ground and stuff. And you're in this car, and you've just escaped this building, and you need to get to Central Park, because apparently Central Park's where all the shit's going down. But there's, imagine, have you seen the film 2012?
Yeah.
No.
Right, well, there's this massive scene, basically, where the world's collapsing, falling around you, and, you know, the main character, who's just like a journalist or something, suddenly becomes a NASCAR rally driver. Right, this is the same kind of principle. And so you've got this big, like, the road behind you is, like, erupting and exploding, so you have to keep on driving forward, but at the same time, everything's collapsing in front of you, so you're going to have to weave through, and if you crash, a thing from behind catches up with you and you die.
Okay,
fair enough. But that's just, right, imagine that. And now there's also cars on the road, which is okay, fair enough. But the AI is just moronic. It doesn't work. Like, sometimes you actually start off and there's a police car that starts with you. Sometimes it just goes vroom, straight forward and down a hole. Sometimes it won't move. You'll go forward. It will just accelerate into you, spin you around that you can't control it. And then you get hit by the thing behind you. And then, like, the driving mechanics are so awful that, you know, you try and turn a corner, and you'll tap the brake and your car will just spin out of control, and then the thing behind you will catch up with you. You'll be driving along and a fissure will just break in the middle of the road, and you'll just hit it, and then you're stuck, and the thing will catch up with you. And then there's a bit, like, obviously it's trying to make it all, like, you know, dynamic and explosive and stuff, and like puffs of dust and stuff go up in front of you, but then you can't see what's happening. You crash into a car, you don't move, the thing catches up with you. And then there's a bit near about halfway through, you know, you've navigated through, you're doing really, really well, and then you have to go down a long, like, back alley where there's loads of cars in there.
Yeah.
So obviously this is hard because you have to navigate through all the cars. If you clip any of the cars, the physics engine's so awful that you're just going to stop, you're going to, you know, do whatever. and then the thing will catch up with you. But in a dramatic way, whenever this big thing is near you, instead of just keeping you behind the car, the camera pans all the way out so you can see it. But then your car's really small in the bottom of the screen, so you're there trying to navigate down this corridor. You've done this...
trying to make it really dramatic and tense.
Yeah, and you just can't see what happens. You just crash into something. And another way of the physics engine breaking is there's a jump halfway through where, you know, you're doing it. It's all... whatever, and you jump, and it's the camera flicks behind you, and you see this big old road crashing down behind you. And then normally, 9 times out of 10, you just land it and drive on. But a few times when I landed, the physics engine just had a hiccup, and you just crash and land and stop, and it doesn't move or anything.
Bloody hell.
And then there's, I had to have a video tutorial at this, because I got to the very, like, there wasn't any checkpoints. If you fail at any point in this, you have to start from the very beginning. And I managed to get all the way through. You get through all the alleyways. You crash into this window of a shopping mall. You go up these stairs. There's a bit of a cutscene. You go out. And then whereas everything before was very linear and follows a path, there's a kind of an open area. And I was thinking, shit, where do I go?
Yeah.
And I kind of went off to this side because I thought that looked like the place to go. And then there was just, it didn't look like a ramp. It was just kind of like concrete just sloping upwards.
Yeah.
And I was like, that can't be the way to go, surely. And I was just kind of staring for a second, and then bam, the whole world fell around me, game over, start from the beginning. And then I looked on YouTube, and I looked, if I had just driven forward, I would have completed that bit of the mission, wasting myself another half an hour having to go back through and do it all.
Oh, that is horrible.
And this is about 3-4 hours into the game, including all my replays. And it's only then, once you're in Central Park, that the map becomes open. It's kind of like free world. You get a mobile phone, you get access to loads of different things. So if the rest of that before was just like kind of like the prologue to the actual game. And you know, one thing is, I was watching, because I was having to go on YouTube, because some of the puzzles were just stupid. And I was going on YouTube for things, and people were like, oh, this is awesome. And a comment was, so I had no idea about this, but a comment was saying that the game was released on PS3, but it was given a slightly different name because they had improved the driving mechanics, they had improved the combat, they had improved the systems.
They re-released it for Wii and PS3, I think.
So they re-released it in a better version, which is okay. But that's the developers sitting down and thinking, we acknowledge the fact that there's faults in this game, but they haven't updated the Xbox version. They've just completely ignored it. Like, another little rant here is there's these little kind of like ratty things, like something called rats with a Z. And they're there fighting, and you've got to kill them. And I'm thinking, right, I don't want to waste any bullets, so I'm going to pick up a like piece of wood, because the combat, you kind of flick the right stick how you want to move it. It's like, okay, so you kind of put it up and you hit it down, hit like that, and you can lock onto them. And so I've locked onto this little thing scurrying around, and I've got like a pole or whatever, and the hit detection's so awful that it's there right in front of me, and I'm literally there swinging it, but the pole's not hitting him, it's hitting just in forward, just behind it, just left and right. I've locked on, I'm hitting it, it's just not killing it at all. It takes about 20 swings to kill it.
So I think we can say that Callum's game is the shit-tacular.
Playing that driving section, I cannot understand how they didn't properly test that game and just think, this just doesn't work. It's good in theory, but it's just not playable.
Right, come on.
Fuck you, Alone in the Dark. Fuck you. I'm out of here.
Callum's had his rant. He's calmed down. He's got up. He's answered his phone. This is poor, poor podcasting skills here. Me and Matt are going to have to carry this section here.
This could not end well.
This could get interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so this week on the community section, minus Callum Alexander, who he needs to calm down. Yeah. He's probably hit a wall or something. Like towards the end of it there, he had veins literally popping out.
Saw him punch a bird in anger.
He was getting nasty.
Yeah.
The things he was saying about Alone in the Dark were just nasty, nasty things. So, outside of that though...
Don't worry, I just happened to smoke some crystal meth there too.
Yeah.
Not even once.
I've started watching Breaking Bad, so crystal meth references. Anyway, this week the quirky question of the week was, what is the worst job in video gaming? We'll start off with Vin French here, who tweeted in to say, any job at Team Bondi? Oh, yes, I did.
I'm kind of out the loop here. Can you explain why that was?
Because Team Bondi, they had, when they were making L.A. Noire, there were reports coming out of the studio that the developers were, like, some of the workers at Team Bondi were complaining of overly long hours, not getting paid for extra time.
Oh, that's pretty shit.
So there's a lot to it. I'd look it up. I mean, I don't really remember the ins and outs of the situation off the top of my head, but it was a case of...
But it's not like a dig at the studio. It's a legitimate problem that they...
So, yeah. So, that was a small dig there at Team Bondi from Vin.
Me.
Callum's got off anyone, I guess.
Yeah, it's not a legitimate one, really. Any linesman, referee, or fourth official officiating a game that Ben Tyre is playing in a FIFA, because the amount of abuse they get, it's worse than Sir Alex Ferguson.
All right, Matt, so, have you got one?
I'm thinking you go.
Okay, mine's gonna be any poor unfortunate enemy soldier in a Call of Duty game who isn't on the same side as your one man army.
Come
on,
Matt, Lord of the
Rings. Expecting the Mace Genius here.
Oh shit, you've put it on me now. I had one and now it's gone. It was, I think, just any kind of police guard in an Elder Scrolls game. Like, especially the ones at the beginning, because you always play a character that's getting sentenced to death. And the fact that, fair enough, dragons is quite a big distraction. It's like, oh, how did work go today, honey? Not too good. We were meant to kill this bloke, but then this dragon came, and now this bloke's on the run, and now he's like the leader of the Dark Brotherhood and the Thieves Guild, but that wasn't really my fault. But the one before, where it's like the Emperor comes along, and these guards, because they're chasing you, are trying to kill the Emperor as well. I'd like to see what the kind of job description is of being a guard in an Elder Scrolls game.
That's give me a more legitimate idea. The fact that any guard in any kind of stealth game, because it's not like a war thing where kind of, you know, war's a horrible thing, but you kind of sign up to that, you know, you're going there fully aware of the risks and stuff. Like you said, a guy, and it might be little Bob, says goodbye to little Timmy, his kid, gives his wife a kiss on the cheek on his way to work, expecting just a little average day, just guarding a completely inconspicuous bank or something, and then he gets killed.
Yeah.
It's just...
Anyway, so, also on the Twitters this week, because we didn't have any emails or Facebook messages. Oh, but on Twitters, we had Tom Wright, he tweeted in, that's at AwesomeWells. Callum made a point of mentioning my FIFA trading in. He said that he traded in Red Dead Redemption before all the DLC came out for it. Made up buying the Game of the Year edition last year, though. So
I think
still...
Game of the Year edition is one of the few times you can say a company trying to get more money is a good thing, because generally speaking, they give out value for money.
Yeah, you get more content for the same price of a brand new game. And then finally, Dan Hawking, he's got questions for us, saying, do the ads on XBL annoy you, and does the fat MS have announced there'll be more bother you? At the moment, the ads are...
Like I said, from the adverts on the dashboard, they're fairly unintrusive. They're just kind of another tile. I don't pay any notice to them. But the fact that we're paying £50 a year, subscribers...
I'm more pissed off that
it's £39.99 a year.
£39, but the fact that, you know...
Paying £40 a year and...
PlayStation people who pay that amount a year get free games. We pay that amount of money and we have to look at adverts.
Yeah.
I'm more pissed off, right now, I don't have any problem with adverts, but right now, Xbox Live keeps asking me to, verify my account details every time. It's like, is this your backup email address? I'm like, yes, it is. So, can you enter your password for your backup email address? I'm like, I did this last night. When I was trying to play the Hannah Montana game, it took
it's
me like.
That's probably why it's asking you to verify.
Is that a paedophile alert ring? Any username they've got born after the year 2000 before the year 2000 that's playing that?
Probably doesn't help that my gamer tag has got 55 in it, which makes it sound like I was born in 1955 and have gone on to play Hannah Montana, the video game.
The only thing about Xbox Live is the fact that whenever you register your account, the date of birth linked to that, it just takes that, it if you're an underage account, it never promotes you to an overage account, because you know, obviously I was 15 or whatever when I first made my Xbox Live account, so I had to have a parent's authorization account as well. And, you know, I just made up some kind of Hotmail. And then recently it's like, okay, you need to agree to our terms of service again. Okay. Oh, because you're underage, you need your parents to authorize it as well. Nice. And it comes up with this, you know, Hotmail that I haven't seen in about 4 years. Yeah. So I don't know the password to.
I think for me as well, like, I guess my principles are I'd rather, obviously, less adverts, more gaming, but I never really noticed them. I kind of like the Love Film ones as well. If you accidentally scroll across it, you get, like, a little bit of music, livens up the dashboard a little bit. It depends, like, when Microsoft say there'll be more, as long as it doesn't intrude or become ridiculous where it's harder to get to the actual games themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So you do have to be careful with it and make sure it's not intrusive. At the moment, it's sort of, I think they've hit the right note. As they've gone as far as they can with it anymore, and it will start being a little bit like...
I think the worst, not quite as bad as the whole PlayStation pausing midway through, but the worst they could possibly do is like what YouTube stuff does now on like Spotify.
Make you listen to an advert.
Yeah,
watch
it's like
an advert.
You go and click your game, and before it loads, please watch out. Like,
no, I want to play my game.
If it happened like during a game where it paused, or just like a completely out of context, like yeah. You're playing, like, a fancy RPG, and it pops up, and it's like, how would you like to buy the new Dyson vacuum? And I was like, oh, fuck off.
Imagine, the worst thing as well, though, is if you're having, like, if everyone on your connection is on the internet or something, you're just going slow. Imagine an internet, like, an advert that's supposed to be 30 seconds popped up, but it buffers, like, for 3 minutes.
Just,
That's
although,
the worst.
Hopefully they can do it like they do on YouTube, where, like, you have no problems with the adverts whatsoever. The second your video sums up, it goes... as slow as anything. So that's we're back. This is like this has been our return issue. It's been
had a nice rant.
Back with a
Callum,
had
yes.
some FIFA in jokes. Pretty much.
It's a standard podcast, but we hope you enjoyed it. Okay, in terms of stuff here, if you want to get in touch with us at Scratch Disc, we're on Twitter. You can also email us at sdiscpodcast. Disc with a C at gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, search for Scratch Disc Podcast. Like our page there. You can check us out on the blog, which is scratchdisc.com. And
I want your final words to be a pledge that this podcast will be edited up and uploaded by Friday.
I want you to repeat after me. I, Ben Tyra,
Do solemnly swear.
That by the end of today.
By the end of today.
Which is Friday the 11th of January 2013.
Which is Friday the 11th of January 2013.
That this podcast will be up on the site.
That this podcast will be up on the site.
There you go. And you can't edit that out.
Anyway, so you'll be listening to this today then. You might not be listening to it, but we've come up on Friday the 11th.
Also, for any charitable donations to my psychiatric help after Alone in the Dark, just please visit www.helpgetcalmalexandersaneagain.com. Donations via PayPal, credit card, or postal check, etc.
Anyway, so I've been Ben Tyra.
I think I was Callum Alexander, but I'm not in a very good place right now.
I'm like 9% sure I was Matt Mace, so.
So, and we'll see you next Friday. Have a good week. Bye.